the Volvo XC40, cruising in to take the prestigious Car of the Year award at the Geneva Motor Show. Its design and performance won it the prize, but the company's CEO was quick to acknowledge its Chinese parent company's input. But car makers, including Ford, PSA Group and Renault, may be forced to slam on the brakes when it comes to production of larger models or ones with bigger engines.
Online retail giant Amazon and its CEO Jeff Bezos are in their prime. Bezos tops the annual list of world's billionaires for the first time, with an estimated wealth of $112 billion, dethroning Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, whose fortunes tally up to $90 billion. The Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett, dropped to the third spot with a net worth of $84 billion, while Europe's richest man, Bernard Arnault, CEO of LVMH, is ranked fourth with a fortune of $72 billion.
Gary Cohn, was sort of an unlikely candidate for this job in the first place. You know, but he took it.
He took it.
You know, what do you make of it coming to an end so quickly?
Yeah, 1 year in the Trump administration is like 4 years in any other one. So, and out goes his chief economic advisor. I mean, if you're the chief economic advisor and the person you're advising is not taking your advice, it's time to go.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's March the 7th, 5:10 in the morning, and we're glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. Lots to cover in the show this morning. You heard there in the opening montage the controversy about the economic advisor leaving the White House. If you're not, if somebody's not taking your advice, it's time to go. That seems to be everybody's consensus about what's happening with Gary Cohn, one of the economic advisors who's trying to tell President Trump not to go forward on a tariff policy for steel and aluminum. Gary Cohn announcing his resignation yesterday. We'll continue to follow the aftermath of this throughout the day here on the broadcast and in the markets report coming up momentarily. A little bit later on in our second segment this morning, how about sustainable investing in the wake of the Florida shooting? Lots of investors are going to their portfolio manager and asking that gun stocks be removed from their portfolios. We'll talk with John Hale at Morningstar a little later on. We'll bring in our first guest momentarily. Ellen Kosick is here this morning from Purdue, and we'll be talking about the Me Too social movement and an important conference that's coming up on that subject. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, we've got an implied open on Wall Street later this morning of almost minus 300 points on the Dow. Dow futures are off 320 right now. S&P futures are down 26. The NASDAQ futures are down about 59 points this morning. Around the globe, lots of red. Lots of investors worried about the reaction from Gary Cohn stepping down and what that means for this trade and tariff policy going forward. The Nikkei down almost a full percent this morning. Hang Seng off 313 points. That's more than a percent as well. In Europe this morning, markets are lower by about a third in Germany and a half in France, and just a fraction now in London. Oil is trading at $62.15 a barrel, which is down 45 cents. A couple of stories we're watching for you this morning. BlackBerry yesterday filed a patent infringement lawsuit against Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram, arguing that they applied copy technology from BlackBerry Messenger for their messenger technology on those platforms. Litigation over patent infringement appears to be BlackBerry's strategy now going forward for making money for the company, which has lost market share in the smartphone market it once dominated. According to BlackBerry, Facebook and its subsidiaries created mobile messaging applications that co-opt BlackBerry's innovations using a number of security interface, user interface, and functionality-enhancing features that were present on BlackBerry. Germany's economic minister says the situation is serious regarding President Trump's planned tariffs on imports of steel, and that the country is in close consultations with other members of the European Union about it. The economy minister says that the EU will be ready to react appropriately. The goal, they say, however, is to avoid a trade war. Ellen Kosick is a professor of management at the Krannert School of Management at Purdue University. It's the Me Too movement. All this week, we've been focusing on women's issues as we head to International Women's Day tomorrow. Professor Kosick, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning.
The movement, let's start there first. And I've been posing this question to guests all week. And that is something different happening now with this movement? It feels different than other efforts over years to bring women up to parity, not only with pay, but to take care of all of these insidious problems in our workplace?
I do think it's different in that more people are speaking out, and sexual harassment can involve both men and women, but certainly women are more often the victims. I think what is not so different is I've not seen employers act in organizations as strongly as they might to put in more effective policies or try and improve their cultures.
We recently spoke with Challenger Grain Christmas here in Chicago about this. They said that the trend appears to be moving in that direction. 48% of the business managers they surveyed said that they were at least looking at pay parity. So there's that at least. But what do you think more needs to be done?
Well, I think one thing in particular is to create a culture in which, like Crispin says, treats women as equals, not only in pay, but in leadership, and also just a culture of civility where everyone is treating each other with respect, not interrupting, listening, just being kind. And I think that is going to take a little bit more training and modeling by leadership in some industries in particular.
That does. Has been a problem for so long, it's sort of ingrained in the DNA of companies, isn't it?
Yeah, because what's the model of a successful business person? Be tough, be aggressive, be hostile to your competitors. Sometimes that is brought inside to compete with your peers as well.
Ellen, hang on with us. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk about the conference that's coming up, the meeting that's coming up about breaking bias in the business world. And we'll have more of our conversation, too, about the Me Too movement and bias in business.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks are expected to open sharply lower following the announcement yesterday after the closing bell that President Trump's top economic advisor, Gary Cohn, was resigning. Cohn, a favorite on Wall Street, was the leading opponent in the White House of the president's proposed tariffs on steel and aluminum. Asian stocks also falling on word of Cohn's departure. Jaguar announcing it's making a run at Tesla. Its first all-electric car available in the U.S. will be in the 2019 I-PACE. It will cost around $69,000. That's $10,000 less than Tesla's standard Model X. There are some differences, including more room in the Model X and bigger batteries. The mysterious cryptocurrencies is set to get its own index. The online exchange Coinbase says it will offer the fund listing company assets. Forbes' richest tech billionaire list is out. Amazon's Jeff Bezos tops the list. Microsoft's Bill Gates falls to number two. And Mark Zuckerberg comes in third. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
We're back this morning with Ellen Kosick, professor of management at the Krannert School of Management at Purdue University. Professor, we were talking before the break about some of the research that's been done, putting some of the ideas into action. That's the conference of the that's the topic of the conference coming up at Purdue, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The conference is called Breaking Bias. It's March 22nd and 23rd with a reception on the night of the 21st. And it's bringing in leading business speakers from Amazon and Roche, Exelon in Chicago, and also some really wonderful academics from Stanford and Purdue, and they're going to have a conversation about these issues.
But maybe even shed a little light on why it can't be implemented faster or better at some of these places. Your research over the years has shown that the answer to that might be why.
Well, I think we need more evidence-based solutions, and what happens in the U.S. is I think we keep a lot of our work in companies private because we're afraid of lawsuits, and so we work with consultants that might be tell us what we want to hear, but maybe might not help us put in database solutions where we would, like any business program, we would collect data, we would try out some initiative, and then see if things improve. And in Europe and some other places around the world, there are many more partnerships between universities and business, and actually even fund doctoral students to help implement innovative programs. So we're going to begin with a discussion and dialogue of kind of two 15-minute TED-like talks of a leading academic, a leading company spokesman or person that's trying to do these things in business, and then we're going to have audience participation. And it should be lively and fun, and I think people will really walk away with excitement and ideas of real solutions to put in place at their companies.
We, as we speak, 5% or fewer of the CEOs who are on the S&P 500 board are the are on board of directors at S&P 500 companies. That's a very low number, and it is growing. But what's the disconnect here, I think, of these companies, and what can investors do to maybe change things? We're a little later in the broadcast. We're going to be talking about sustainable investing, about guns. But I'm guessing if investors don't like what their companies are doing in the boardroom, not having enough diversity, they can move on that as well, can't they?
Yes. Once again, in other nations, there's reporting in annual reports on representation by diversity, and here we don't require that reporting. I also think you have to look at what's called intersectionality, or how gender intersects with other things like race, whether you have a family and are a caregiver. And I think if we just go and look at biology, who's a man or who's a woman, we're going to get women that reach the top that maybe have a support system, say it, home husband or fewer kids. So what we want to do is not just replicate these type of backgrounds, but we want to get more diversity. This is the way the world is changing. Our markets are changing. People are going to want to buy and do business with companies that look like them.
Do you think that the Me Too movement has hit its highest point of it, or do you think that there are more industries that still have a reckoning with the Me Too movement?
Oh, yeah, I think that there are a lot more industries that are going to come out. And, it was great that Hollywood started it. But I do think there's in construction, in hospitality, many working class people, also just even professionals in other industries where you've got to become a partner, you've got to, you know, fit in. And if you speak out, whether it's law or other types of business accounting firms or whatever, you may be viewed as disloyal. So there's a risk to speaking up.
In the recent weeks after the shooting at the Florida school, people have been saying that the young people who are starting the Never Again movement with guns, they're going to be the ones to change that problem. Do you think that there's a generation of young people coming that will change this issue as well for the better?
I'm hopeful. And I think part of that is that both the men and the women coming up are perhaps a bit different, having seen both their mom and dad's work, and also having had peers in the classroom that are more diverse, perhaps, than previous generations. So maybe people are relating to others as just at the basic human level and trying to move beyond stereotyping.
Professor, as we leave you again, let's remind people March 21st to the 23rd is the Breaking Bias Conference. How do we get more information and sign up?
If you Google Breaking Bias, Gender and Leadership at Purdue University, you'll be able to register, or you can contact me, Ellen Kosick, at Purdue University, and I'll send you a link. And we have people coming from all over the world, and we would welcome some people from the Chicago area and your other listeners.
And so
thanks again for having me on.
Absolutely. So this is open to everybody, not just the college community.
Right. It is a dialogue between business and scholars. So we have people coming from around the world, 50 universities, but we have leading business people from McKinsey, Amazon, Roche, breakout sessions with a dozen other companies are coming as well as speakers, and others have registered.
All right, very good. Professor, thanks again for being on with us this morning here on the Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me.
Professor Ellen Kosick, Professor of Management at Krannert School of Management at Purdue University in West Lafayette. Again, it's Breaking Bias, Leadership Excellence and Gender in Organizations Conference, Bridging the Research to Practice Gap. March 21st to the 23rd at Purdue in West Lafayette. We're going to link out, to put a link on here about registration and more information with the podcast of the Opening Bell later this morning at WGNRadio.com for more information for you.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of the program. Yesterday, Democratic candidate for Governor Chris Kennedy called for state pension funds to pull investments from gun and ammunition companies, and he criticized primary rival Senator Daniel Bist for not raising the idea first. Kennedy was outside of the Thompson Center yesterday, where Chicago Police Commander Paul Bauer was shot and killed a couple of weeks ago. Says state government employees, including lawmakers, are undermining efforts to stem the flow of weapons. This could be a trend that's happening across the country in the wake of the Florida school shooting. There are probably gun stocks in your 401k, and a growing number of people are trying to unload those investments. Joining us this morning from Morningstar is John Hale, head of sustainable research there. John, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
So how much of a trend is this? Anecdotally, I've heard from a couple of portfolio managers that they've had calls about this, but are people doing this?
Well, I think the main demand so far is among institutional pension plans, the sorts of things you were just mentioning before. I think, with a lot of individual investors, it's, a concern, but, it takes a little more effort to actually, call up your advisor and say, geez, I want to make this kind of change. So I don't know that advisors are necessarily seeing quite the same level of demand as we might be seeing in a more public setting with these institutional pension plans.
Well, I think the first step for most people, I mentioned too, that this is, probably in your 401k and you don't know it, is figuring out if it's there in the first place. And how does one even begin to do something like that?
Well, it is difficult. I mean, for the three gun makers in the U.S. that are publicly traded, they're all three exceedingly small stocks. If you're a small cap investor, well, first of all, congratulations. You're in small caps. You're well diversified, probably there because of that. But if you have a small cap index fund, chances are you have exposure to these stocks. If you're an index investor in general, you're going to have exposure to companies across the entire market, and you're going to have exposure to these stocks in a portfolio of literally thousands of positions. So it is actually sort of physically difficult to go through the list and find those positions.
And added to that, too, after you do find out whether that stuff is there, deciding how far you want to go with this. I mean, do you want to take all of the investments away from all gun companies? Do you want to take money out of military contractors, or that sort of thing? Overall sporting goods stores, places like Walmart that do other things as well. There are lots of decisions after that first decision.
Yeah, I mean, there are these three. There are the three gun makers, and then there's a handful of other companies that make components of for guns, and then there's distributors. And again, all of these, actually, with the exception of Walmart, are very small companies, but nonetheless, they're in your index portfolio, and so it's very difficult. I mean, you can't just say, I don't want these stocks in my portfolio any longer, and you've got to sell an entire fund if you're a fund investor. So it is a difficult decision from an investor standpoint. From a pension standpoint, it's not as hard of a decision, because pension funds are large clients of asset managers, and so it's a lot easier for a pension plan. It's not completely easy, but it's a lot easier for a pension plan to go to their asset manager and say, look, we want to divest from these companies, and kind of leave it up to the manager to figure out how.
John, the idea of sustainable research is one that's really been taking hold over the last few years or so, maybe even longer than that. Does divestment work when we do things like this?
Well, it's an interesting question. You know, we've had divestment movements focused on tobacco in the past, and currently on companies with fossil fuel exposure, fossil fuel reserves. those divestment efforts are typically focused on enormous companies for which there's always going to be considerable demand for their shares. And so contrast this, especially if you want to focus on these small gun makers in the U.S., they're widely held, not because they're great stocks with a lot of demand, but only because they're in these market indexes. So investors who buy these low-cost index funds are really helping bolster demand for the shares of gun makers. So it wouldn't take many large institutional pension plans around the country to divest from those small companies to really seriously affect the demand for their shares. And also, in contrast with past divestment efforts, to do this in your own portfolio is not going to have an impact on your performance. There's not that much risk to it because they're such small positions. But anyway, I think really the significant impact is symbolic. You know, divestment efforts involved with tobacco and fossil fuels, and now guns, serves to call more attention to the issues that are underlying the divestment efforts. So, with tobacco, pension plans calling attention to the serious health costs that society has to bear, including many of the members of a pension plan, but also in terms of public health costs that, among other things, make it hard to fully fund pension plans. So there's that broader connection, essentially the pension plans contributing to the broader public discussion of the issue.
I remember a time when investment experts would tell you, don't let your emotions get involved here. Let us handle this. But yeah. A lot of people are not taking that advice these days because it really is, to them, something that they want to make an impact on.
Yeah, there's an interesting book out there by a guy named Meyer Statman called Investing for Normal People, and he argues there that for many people, in fact, for most of us, having those kinds of connections with our investment is perfectly normal, and that it's actually less normal to try to become these rational actors every time we think of investments. And I think that's one of the things that's happening here. Investing is a rather disconnected activity from real life, especially if you're a passive investor in index funds. And an issue like this reminds investors of the connection to the real world and really, I think, forces them to decide, do we really want to invest this way? So it kind of serves the purpose, for me, it seems like, of connecting people to their investments and to the real world and understanding what the connection is and the implications of it. And I think that is one of the things that's driving interest in sustainable investing.
All of the negative public attention on guns in recent weeks has caused a lot of these stocks to drop. What's the history been here with some of these gun stocks? I remember when Hillary Clinton was running for president, they went up, but they've been down recently.
Yeah, they've been some of the worst performers in the stock market since Trump's surprise election. The down between, two of them are down like 60%. Since then, and the others down about 20% during a period when the overall market has been up 30%. So it's massive underperformance. And during 2016 with the supposed specter of Hillary Clinton becoming president, but this was also something that happened during the Obama presidency as well. The case was made to gun enthusiasts, especially that the Democrats are going to challenge their unlimited ability to buy guns, thus creating a sort of almost like a stockpiling mentality, which spurred gun sales. But it's focused around 5% or so of all gun owners own an estimated 50% or so of all guns in the U.S. And so when Trump unexpectedly won in 2016, it removed that supposed threat, and sales dropped precipitously and unexpectedly. But since then, now I think we've got a different dynamic. The stocks have plummeted in the days since the Parkland shooting, and prospects from the companies themselves for sales in the coming 12 to 18 months are flat. I think, to some extent, some of those sales might have been pushed forward in time because of the politics of it, and they're expecting lower demand. And now, if we have additional regulations, we could have additional cuts in demand for those products.
You mentioned a couple of the other areas where divestment had worked. I guess a similar question to that would be, what other places, if we want to be sustainable investors, are good places to put our money right now?
Well, you know, there's a lot of there are mutual funds out there that I've kind of defined as sustainable investment funds, and really what they are, they're not so much concerned with divestment per se as they are with evaluating companies one by one on the basis of how well those companies are managing the various environmental and social and corporate governance issues that are material to their businesses. So, in effect, what they're trying to do, these funds, are to tilt their portfolios towards companies with better overall sustainability profiles. And increasingly, research is showing that those are companies that are going to be better long-term performers. So it's a little bit like a macro theme as well, that sustainability, which is this term you hear, you know, bandied about all the time and all in various facets of life, is now something that investors think about and as something that's going to be something that contributes to the success of businesses in the future.
John, good information this morning. We appreciate you being up with us this morning.
Hey, my pleasure.
All right, John Hale is the head of sustainable research at Morningstar, and you can check them out online at morningstar.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a sharply lower open on Wall Street later this morning, with an implied opening on the Dow down almost 300 points, more than 300 points now. Same story for the NASDAQ and S&P. Both are going to open in the negative this morning. The S&P perhaps lower by about 1%. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Wheat prices down slightly yesterday. Crop conditions stabilized in the dry winter wheat plains growing region. And the Chicago Board of Trade wheat futures down 2.25 cents. The USDA on Monday boosted wheat crop ratings in the top state of Kansas. However, conditions still were only 13% good to excellent, up 1 percentage point from a week ago. Tomorrow, the USDA will release monthly supply-demand outlooks for wheat, corn, and soybeans. Some analysts expecting the agency to show larger U.S. wheat ending stocks due to weak export demand. Moving on to the livestock trade yesterday at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, supply buildup of cattle, a little bit of a concern, and so as a result, live cattle futures moved lower for the day. The April contract ended at $122.80 a hundredweight, and that was 40 cents a hundredweight lower. Meanwhile, hog futures hit by profit-taking yesterday and lower wholesale pork prices weighed on the lean hog futures at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April hogs down 60 cents a hundredweight. And last night, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue in Des Moines, Iowa, to swear in Bill Northey, the former director of the Department of Agriculture in Iowa, into the USDA staff. That's good news for a lot of people. Bill Northey is worthy of the nomination, and I congratulate him for that. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. Some developing news this morning. The EU trade chief has just held a news briefing on Trump tariffs, says the EU seriously doubts that the president wants tariffs on steel and aluminum for national security reasons, instead more for economic gain. The EU is also discussing a provisional list of tariffs on U.S. goods, including products like peanut butter, orange juice, and bourbon. The EU commissioner says the EU will respond in a proportionate, balanced way to U.S. tariffs. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Wednesday, March the 7th, we'll see mortgage applications today, the number of mortgage applications. A big report from Jobs on Jobs. It's the ADP Employment Report. We'll also get numbers on international trade, the productivity and cost report out today, the EIA petroleum status report, and the Beige Book from the Federal Reserve. Later in the afternoon, consumer credit. Also earnings today from Costco and Dollar Tree.